I'm Tony Cox, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin is away. World Cup fever is continuing to spread around the globe, with millions of soccer fans glued to TV screens. There are daily parties, the March Madness-style brackets, and yes, of course, the occasional skipped hours of work. Still, in the U.S., and despite all of the kids we see playing through the spring, the summer, and the fall, soccer, as we call it here, is not really considered a favorite national pastime. So, what are real football maniacs to do? They make it work. To tell us how, we've gathered true soccer fans from three continents, Africa, Europe, and Latin America. Joining us today are Cristia Avila from Brazil, Joseph Ogi Amadou from Nigeria, and Florian Teos from Germany. All live now in the United States. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
Let me guess. Cristia, I'll start with you. How closely are you following the World Cup?
As closely as any Brazilian does.
I would guess so.
Yeah, we just talk about World Cup for a month now.
When the World Cup comes, and because Brazil is so, you know, because it's Brazil, how does life change for you every day?
Well, it changes in a lot of ways, not only because I want to watch the matches, and I feel bad because I can't watch all of them, but also, your friends are constantly making jokes about your country, talking about the games on Facebook, on your email, calls. So I guess it changes a lot.
Do you wear yellow and blue and green?
Yes.
You're not wearing
green
it right
now.
You...
No, because they're not playing, but I will on Friday.
Let me come to you, Florian, because you're from Germany. How does it change for you?
Also, I think in a lot of ways. One is for sure that it has an impact on your work-life balance, especially now in the first round where some games start at 7:30 in the morning. And also, if you're trying to follow the game and you still try to deliver the same at work, that means probably working a little bit longer hours. So that's certainly one big change. The other is, I'd say, even on friendships, because, you know, I have a Serbian roommate, for example. We lost against Serbia. I didn't show up for 4 days at home.
Oh, wow. And, you guys are serious.
And I would say the third element is it's a way of being patriotic. It's really a time where you can show where you're from, and it's, you know, totally accepted to do that. It's still a little bit odd here in the U.S. Because not everybody's following, and people might ask, so why is this guy wearing a Germany jersey now? But in general, that's certainly something that, yeah, changes for me.
Joseph, let me ask you about that, from being from Nigeria, because we know about Brazil in terms of the World Cup, and we also know probably more about Germany. I would suspect that people don't know as much about Nigeria's involvement. So how does that work for you in terms of you're dealing with people and maybe you're wearing the national colors during World Cup?
Yeah, for me, I got to explain to us, so everybody, that we're playing good, you know, because we lost two matches already, you know, and everybody's like, no, you lost, and like, no, we're playing good, you know, we just lost by one goal and stuff like that. But right now, I don't think any African team is doing good, so it kind of balances out.
Now, one of the things, Joseph, and let me ask the two of you who are in studio with me as well, you guys, you know, and I mean, all the countries, everybody sings, you know, they sing at the game. So I want to hear what the Brazilians sing, and I want to hear what the Germans sing, and I want to hear what the Nigerians sing. So give us an idea. What is it that you guys sing? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. It's for your country.
Okay, I'm not a singer,
that's
of course.
Okay. That's okay.
But we say, eu sou brasileiro com muito orgulho. Com muito amor, which can be translated.
If you're in the stands, you're going to be belting that song out.
Oh, yeah. No, right. Yeah, of course.
Okay,
yeah.
So translated, it means what?
But it means I'm Brazilian with a lot of pride and love. And I think that really shows the way that we feel right now.
Yeah, so do the Germans sing too?
Yeah, we sing, absolutely. Something like, for example, auf geht's, Deutschland, schießt ein Tor, schießt ein Tor, schießt ein Tor.
And what does that mean?
So that means, come on, Germany, just, you know, shoot a goal, shoot a goal. And that's interesting because Germans are always considered to be defensive. No, we want to see goals.
Really?
We want to score as well,
that's
sure.
Interesting. Now, do you guys have a song from Nigeria also, Joseph?
We sing, it's a kind of religious song, you know, it's like from the Bible. It's like he answered Paul and Silas, you know, the story about Paul and Silas when they were locked up in the Bible, you know. So that's the song we sing. It's like, he answered Paul and Silas. He answered Paul and Silas. Say, Jehovah answered Paul and Silas. He will surely answer my prayer. So if you watch Nigerian games, before they start the first half, they always pray, you know, you see them run together and then the keeper in the middle and then they pray. But when they start the second half, they also pray. So it's kind of a religious thing for them, you know. So that's why they sing religious songs.
I'm Tony Cox, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. And I'm speaking with three soccer fans from around the globe about the biggest sporting event, the World Cup. Joseph joining us from Chicago. He is from Nigeria. Florian is in studio here with me. He's from Germany. And Chrissia is here in studio, and she is from Brazil. Now, here's a question for you about your continents, okay? Starting with you, Chrissia, if Brazil, heaven forbid, doesn't make it all the way, are you going to support another nation from Latin America over Europe and over America and over Africa? Would the Brazilians do that?
We may, except for one country, Argentina, right?
What country?
I have to say
not
that.
Not Argentina, no matter what. Forget that.
No matter what.
What about Germany and Europe? Is it Europe after Germany is out, if Germany is to be out?
No. I think in this case, I would just support those teams that I find play the most attractive soccer.
So there's no European Union in soccer, is there?
No, not really. But since Spain, for me, is one of the countries playing the most attractive soccer, I think I would probably go for Spain.
You could do that. And what about in Nigeria?
Yeah, it's like Africa first, you know.
Africa first.
We support any African country. It doesn't matter who they're playing against, unless they're playing against you, you know. We always support all of them. It doesn't matter.
So instead of asking you how hard it is for you to see a game, what is it the thing that you did the most so that you could watch the World Cup?
Well, here in the U.S., taking the day off and explaining to my clients, look, you can talk to me until midday, but after that, I'm out.
Now, what kind of work do you do?
I'm a lawyer. I work at a multilateral
You're not
bank,
a criminal defense lawyer who doesn't go to court because of the World Cup, are
no,
you?
No, but the good thing is I work with Latin America, so they kind of understand. But in Brazil, I've done crazy things like driving in the opposite side of the road, things like that.
To get to the game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What about you, Florian?
Actually, something that I haven't done but I'm planning to do, maybe I should rather talk about that. If Germany reaches the next round, I will be going, I have to say I'm living in Washington, D.C. now, and I would be going up to New York to watch the next game because I've had an experience 4 years ago where there's just much better atmosphere, really, to be, you know, with other diehard fans.
So you gotta go to the Big Apple.
I would go to the Big Apple.
Where the German fans really are.
Yeah.
I got you. I feel you.
I'm not going to tell you the place, though.
Okay. Joseph, what about you? Craziest thing you've done to watch?
The craziest thing I've done, I don't think it's nice for me to say, you know, but I had to get a mobile broadband internet, and then I had the laptop there I was driving.
You had the computer on with the internet while you were driving?
While I was driving. I don't advise anybody to do that, you know.
Let me ask the three of you, because you live in the United States now, you are from other countries, you are diehard soccer fans. A, does it bother you that Americans do not seem to be into soccer the way you are? And why do you think it is that we Americans are not into soccer? Let me ask you first, Florian.
I think just related to history, where the U.S. is a big country but has totally focused on other sports. So then it's and has marketed very well, you know, living in the country of capitalism. And so it's hard for other sports to make inroads in that. And we know that even with the World Cup in 1994 that took place in the U.S. and everybody thought it might be a big boost, it didn't really happen.
Does it bother you?
You know, it more bothers me in that regard that I feel that I cannot really be the soccer fan or live it out the way that I would like to. You know, if Germany wins a game and Germany would have a big parade through the whole city, I think if we did that here, the cops will be coming very soon.
Interesting. So. Well, Krisha, does it bother you that, you know, there's not that frenzy for soccer?
It's not that it bothers me, but it's something that amazes me. It's the second World Cup that I spent in the U.S. And I do see things a little bit better than last time. Last time I really felt like there was no place I could go to watch the games, and people just wouldn't care. I was working in an environment that had only Americans, and it was very tough to explain to them why I would skip work. But now I do see a change. It's not that it bothers me, but I wish people would give more attention to that.
You feel that way, Joseph?
It's much better now, because in 2006, it was a lot harder to get anywhere to see the games, and they had to show selected games. But now you can watch the whole game. So I think it's improving, you know. They know there's the interest now. It's much more better than it was last World Cup. So I think in the next one, 2012, it's probably going to be better, much more better.
So if I said to you, the three of you, as we bring our conversation to a close, one kind of crazy question and then another more serious one. If I said to you, the United States is going to win the World Cup in 2010, you would say I was
crazy.
Too optimistic.
Crazy, too optimic. Delusional, Florian?
Well, I think also it's not very realistic, but, you know, everything is possible in soccer, and we see it right now in the World Cup. So,
all right, so we're going around the table. Who is going to win the World Cup in 2010?
Brazil.
No, Germany, of course.
Germany and Joseph?
I wish it was going to be Nigeria, but I'm going to say Spain.
Spain. It's been a wonderful conversation with you, shedding your stories with us and shedding some light, actually, on your stories about the soccer. I'm going to start calling it football. I'm going to try to start doing it. Our three football fans today are Krisha Avila from Brazil, Joseph Ogi Amado from Nigeria, and Florian Thiels from Germany. Once again, thank you very much. And in the mood of the World Cup, let's go out on the official theme song from South Africa.